Well, you know, we've been talking about this spirit of excellence. Kathy, could you bring up our first slide? Remember this picture from last week? You know, I shared last week that this is our screensaver on our computer. When I go to turn our computer on, Gary put it on. It's a picture that he had taken when we were down at SeaWorld in Florida just a few years back. We were spending some time with our former pastor from this church and his wife, and he took this picture and he put it on our computer. So I see it every day. And every day I'm just like, oh, you know, I love to see these magnificent creatures jumping out of the water. If you've ever been to SeaWorld, I mean, their shows are excellent. It's a spirit of excellence in their shows. They are awesome. What they do, how they train God's creatures is amazing. In the picture, we're down at SeaWorld, and the trainer on our screen at home, we can see more of the picture. I don't know why this just comes up, but the trainer standing over here, and they give signals, you know, and those dolphins jump up out of the water in unison. Now, this little guy, he's a little behind, or you know what? He's a lot smaller than these guys, but we can't let, you know, inexperience or size or, you know, keep us down. You know what? If God is for us, who be against us? You know? And so I just thought that this was, I just love this picture. This is what I see every day. I just want to encourage this little guy, jump higher! Don't quit! Don't give up! Soon, if you don't, you'll be jumping as high as those guys or higher! You know? So anyway, that's my picture. I just see in scripture that God says that to us. And I said last week that my eyes ultimately will go to this little guy right down here. And, you know, just like God encourages us in his word, you know, come on, little guy. Come on, church. You can do this. You know, he's put greatness in us. He lives in us. He's excellent. We have a spirit of excellence in us. We can do it. We can come up higher. We can jump higher. In the scripture, he's telling us, church, you can do it. You can come up. There's excellence in you. I am in you. I live in you. You can do this. And so he says, you know, don't quit. Don't limit me. Don't quit. Just keep listening to my word. Yep. Don't give up. No matter what it looks like, the kingdom of heaven is in you. And we can release that. And then I said last week, he gives us a lot of examples. You know, this little guy, he's got examples to follow, right? And in God's word, God gives us examples to follow. We looked at some greats last week. Briefly, we didn't look real long. We were just kind of, you know, introducing this series. We looked at Joshua and Caleb. These are all awesome men of God that have a spirit of excellence. Joshua and Caleb. We looked at Gideon. Remember Gideon? We looked at David. We looked at Daniel, and we looked at his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all had a spirit of excellence toward God. And so we said that that spirit was actually an attitude. It's a mindset. We're not talking about their born again spirit because they weren't born again, right? Jesus didn't go to the cross yet. So this spirit is talking about an attitude, a mindset. It is a mental disposition, to follow God no matter what. And each of those guys that we looked at, they had challenges, man. Do you guys have some challenges in your lives? They had challenges, things that depending on what they did could cost them their life. But they had a spirit of excellence, and they had supernatural victories because that spirit of excellence, that attitude, draws God's favor to you. He sees that like you know the dolphins, God created them, and there's amazing feats in them. There are in us too. There are in us. So we said last week, Kathy, that God has a great plan for you and I. It's a plan to prosper us. It's a plan for us to reach our full potential. and not to settle for mediocrity. I'm just reviewing a little bit before we move on. There's somewhere that I'd like to get today, as God will allow us to. But there was a minister who was quoted as saying this: if you want to go to an area that has the greatest amount of potential, anyone remember this? If you're to go to, on this earth to the area that has the greatest amount of potential, where is it? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's where the greatest amount of potential lies, because people don't achieve all that God has for them in their life. They take most of their potential to the grave. And God is saying that he has so much more for us. Don't quit. Come up higher. I have excellence for you. So he wants us to be all that he has created us to be. And we said that God is limitless. He is limitless. But we can limit him if we turn away from him, like those Israelites. We talked about the Israelites turning away from him, that first generation of Israelites. An excellent spirit is sold out to God. It's one with an unflinching faith. It trusts God in every situation, no matter how it looks, no matter how good or bad it looks. And it's a steadfast commitment to God. We said that a spirit of excellence draws God's favor like a lightning bolt. Remember, I used a lightning bolt is drawn to an exact space, an exact place on the earth. And an excellent spirit gives promotion. An excellent attitude will promote you. And that we saw in every example that we looked at last week, okay? So there's a pattern that we want to look at, you know, in these individuals that God has placed in the Bible. There's a pattern that we can see. We can see characteristics of these people that demonstrate a spirit of excellence. And that's what we're looking at. We got to the first one last week. Everyone remember what it is? The characteristic of an excellent spirit. Know your identity in Christ. That's the first characteristic that we were talking about last week. And these are the characteristics that are common in these examples that we've been studying in the Bible. We need to know our identity in Christ. It's our identity in Christ that's important. We need to find out what that is, and we need to maintain that identity. We need to maintain it. If you remember last week, we looked at Daniel and his three friends. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They all had their original Hebrew names, all had part of God's identity in their names. Remember, God's two basic Hebrew names are El and Yahweh. Remember those two names we discussed last week? And you have ever heard of Elohim, El Shaddai. Kathy, could you bring up our definitions for El? El is for God. It is for strength. This is out of Strong's Concordance. Mighty, especially almighty. And power. And Kathy, do you read the next slide? Isaiah 26:4. This is the covenant name of God that's found in Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, in God, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Yah. So I wrote on the board up here, I had Daniel, E-L. Mishael, E-L. Hananiah, Yah, and Hananiah, and Azariah, they all had their identity in Christ, okay? And even though when they got captured, Nebuchadnezzar changed their names, their Hebrew names, to Babylonian names that referenced Babylonian gods, those Hebrew boys did not change their identity. They maintained their identity. And just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we have to get our identity in Christ also. That's where our identity comes from, all right? We actually had a teaching on that several months ago, and it's so awesome. Ralph's maintaining our website. You can go to those teachings, and you can listen to them all. It's so wonderful to be able to do that. So we have, I think there's about 11 of them on our teachings of our identity. A few months ago, we did that. Even though the rest of the Babylonian society was kind of, you know, doing what they do, Daniel and his three friends would not defile themselves with the food. Remember that? They continued to pray to their God. They wouldn't bow down to any Babylonian gods. They were really swimming upstream. They were swimming against the current of the society. And they each had an excellent spirit toward God. And they got promoted. You know, you could get promoted wherever you are. Now, they were in exile. And they were promoted. You could be sitting in a jail cell. God can see your excellent spirit, and you can get promoted in that jail cell. You can be living on the backside of a hut, you know, somewhere in Africa. God can see your heart, and he will promote you. That excellent spirit will draw his attention. Does it matter whether you work for a good company, a big company, or a little company? Does it matter if you live in a big neighborhood or a little neighborhood? Does it matter where you are? God sees you. He sees you. If your spirit is hot for him, like that lightning bolt, he'll come. He will come and bless you. Kathy, could you do our next scripture? Psalm 75, 6 and 7. For exaltation comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, and God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. God is looking for someone to promote. He's the promoter. He's looking for someone to promote. We looked at this one last week. 2 Chronicles 16:9, Kathy. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. That's an excellent spirit. One whose heart is loyal to him. God's looking for that excellent spirit. And that's how he grants us favor and blessings. We also said last week that your attitude determines your altitude. You can't rise higher than your thoughts. As a man thinks, so is he. But God is calling us all, every single one of us, to come up higher. It doesn't matter what you've seen or what you've not seen. I'm sure Billy Burke has seen an awful lot of amazing things, but God's calling him to come up higher. Come up higher. If you aren't promoted on your job, you know, if someone else keeps getting promoted over you, it's possible that you don't have an excellent spirit. Do you mumble and grumble and complain? Like those first generation of Israelites? It could be possible you don't have an excellent spirit. Who would want to promote someone who has a lousy spirit? You know? Constantly complaining. Anyway, that was for somebody I don't know who that was for. If we're talking about an excellent spirit, an excellent attitude. And, you know, we can't control other people's attitudes. But we sure can control ours. We can control our own attitude. Daniel and his three friends, they did not complain. They were taken in exile. Their families were killed. They possibly were castrated. And you know, they didn't complain. They trusted God through the whole thing. And because of it, they were promoted. I said, it doesn't matter where you are, God will see your spirit. He'll see that excellent spirit, and he will promote you. It could be at your work. Your boss might not even see you. Your boss might not even notice you. But God can bless you even if your supervisor doesn't see you. He can bless you in all kinds of ways. He can bless you in your marriage. He can bless you on your job. He can bless you in your relationships. You can be the best worker at your job. You could be the best father, the best husband, or the best wife. God will promote a right attitude. And there are no limits with God. It doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter what age you are or the color of your skin. God will promote you because the promotion comes from God. There are no restrictions. We are to serve. Kathy, can you bring up the next scripture? Ephesians 6 to 7 and 8. We're to serve not with the eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to man. Verse 8, Kathy. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or whether he is free. There's no restrictions with God. He'll bless you. He sees your heart. He's no respecter of persons. That those scriptures are saying that we're in our jobs, we're to work as unto the Lord, not as unto, you know, while the boss is watching, but God is watching all the time. We're to serve him. Do it as unto him. You know, our daughter Kayla, she graduated from college 4 years ago. 4 years ago, and she was looking for a position, and we were just praying, you know, God, where do you have her to be? And so she got into a pretty decent company here, headquartered here where is that town? Coopersburg. That's where she got in. And she got into an entry-level position. It was stressful. She had a lot to learn. She got discouraged sometimes. We just kept encouraging her. You know, that was not the position that she wanted. There was another position in the company that she went to school for and could utilize all of her abilities that she learned. That's what she really wanted. But we said, you know, don't quit. Don't give up. Do what you can. Whatever they give you, do your very best. You know, do work as unto the Lord. Do your very best. And one day you will, if you don't quit, if you hang in there, you will be promoted to the position that you want. So they watched her. They liked her. And so they would start giving her, a lot of promotions. She got a lot of promotions in this 4 year period. And so they would ask her to train, you know, other employees in her department. They would actually then, they were sending her out. She's been traveling. They send her out and they utilize her to train. She's teaching, you know, how to, operate these blinds that are, budget blinds, these blinds, yeah, for Lutron. And so she has to go in, set everything up, and she has to teach the retailers that are going to be selling the product. She has to teach them how to use it. And so they send her out, and that's part of what she wants to do in this position. So they were giving her some responsibilities in her current position. Just this week, she stepped in to the position that she wanted. She didn't quit. She kept up. She, you know, there are so many things that came against her. You know what? She was just really, you know, you can understand. You know, we deal with some pressures sometimes. But she finally got promoted. You know, if we're faithful in the little things, God will give us the bigger things. He knows we'll be faithful in those. All right, so I want to move on to the next characteristic that we saw. You have to see this in the examples that we were talking about. It's not just those; there's a whole bunch more. But we looked at Joshua and Caleb and Gideon and David and Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And this is something I taught on not too long ago. But this is a characteristic of an excellent spirit. It's humility. It's humility. Daniel and his friends esteemed God's opinion above their own. They esteemed what God said above their own. Even, you know, in their situations, their life was on the line. And they continued, they stood firm. God has an interesting way of doing things. The way up, his way up is you go down first. You die to self. You die to self. You die to your own opinions and you exalt God's over yours. That involves humility. And we saw it in every case of each of those examples. You know, Daniel and his friends, they did not flow with the Babylonians. They swam upstream. They swam God's way. And it took some effort. But when you know your identity, when you know who you are, when you know that everything that you have, everything within you, all that you are, your entire being is from God, humility is a result. Absolutely. Kathy, could you go to the next scripture? James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It's all from God, guys. It's all from God. It's all about God, and it's not about us. His ways are higher than ours. So we have to see things through his eyes, not through the tainted lenses that the world has. We got to see things as he calls it. We exalt him and we humble ourselves. When we do that, then and only then does he exalt us. Kathy, could you give our next scripture? Matthew 23. Okay, that's not the right one. It's supposed to be 12. That's all right. I think we have or I'm going to just read Matthew 23:12. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We have to humble ourselves. The next one, do we have James 4:10? Okay, that one we got. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will do it. His blessings, his favor will be drawn to you. He'll see you wherever you are. Kathy, go to the next one. James 4:6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And we said that the opposite of humility is pride. Kathy, next scripture, 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When we were studying humility a few weeks ago, we looked at the word humble. Kathy, do we have this up there, humble? The Greek word is tapinos. It means humble. It means to bring low to the ground, a low estate, lowly in position and power. We're to humble ourselves below God. We put God above ourselves. And I had looked in Webster's dictionary for the definition of humble. And this is what Webster says. Not proud or haughty, not arrogant or assertive, reflecting, expressing, or offered in a spirit of deference or submission. We submit to God. It's not the other way around. And the third definition in Webster's was ranking low in hierarchy or scale. So humility is placing God and his word above ourselves. It's total dependence on him. It's agreeing with what God says and submitting to that no matter what. And interesting what we saw in Hebrews 4:10, humility is a choice. It's a choice that we have. James 4:10 that we saw earlier said, humble yourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, the understood subject of that verse is you. You humble yourself. You. Do you see the hierarchy there? It's God first and us second. So we talked about humility a couple of weeks ago. And you can go on the web, go on our website. That message is on there. That was from July 22nd, I believe. So you can go on there and check it out. So thank you, Ralph, for putting those messages on there. This week I got a call from somebody who was hurting and in need of help. And I knew what they needed. They needed the word. I could say, go to this message, go to this series. And so they can connect. Just awesome, awesome. You know, this area of humility, this subject, it's a critical area. You know, our society puts a premium on pride and arrogance and boasting, and they forsake humility. That's just opposite of what God tells us to do. It's opposite. He'll pass over the proud to get to the one who humbles himself and is sold out to God. Doesn't matter where you are. People today think that being humble is a negative thing, that it's a weakness, that it's powerless. Do you know humility is a strength? It takes strength, courage to humble yourself. We're not to think too highly of ourselves. But God's definition of humility is neither thinking too high of ourselves nor thinking too low of ourselves. Either way would be called pride. Humility is having an accurate assessment of what God says about us. What do the scriptures say about us? It's having God's assessment of us. It's not having our opinion, it's having God's opinion. Kathy, I want to see what Paul said here. Romans 12:3. This is Paul speaking. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly, and can I add, or lowly, than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And that word for soberly there is the Greek word sophron. Kathy, we got that? So it means soberly, moderately, with a sound mind, self-controlled, temperate, moderate as to opinion or passion. We're not to hate ourselves. We're not to exalt ourselves, but we're just think soberly. And Kathy, do we have James 4:6 up there? Okay. All right. James 4:6. God resists the proud. We saw this earlier. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then James goes on to say, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, we use that scripture, you know, resist the devil, and he will flee. We use that to fight, you know, all kinds of battles, all right? But what I want to show you is that word therefore in verse 7, because it's there, it connects us to the previous verse. And in the previous verse, we're talking about pride. So God is saying, resist pride. Resist pride and it will flee from you. And pride is exalting your opinion above God's. And we see a lot of that going on, don't we? A lot of that. Humility is opposite of pride. You know, when we studied humility a few weeks ago, we looked at the story of Korah and his gang. We're not going to look at that again. You can read that yourself in Numbers chapter 16. But if you remember, Korah had pride, and he exalted himself, and they were jealous, and all those who listened to him, they got swallowed up by an earthquake. God opened the earth and swallowed them up. Yeah. There is a law of the kingdom that says pride goes before a fall. Kathy, could you bring up Proverbs 16:8? Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Okay, so a spirit of excellence is one of humility, all right? We're going to go on to the third characteristic of an excellent spirit. And what we saw in each of the examples that we looked at last week, were obedient without compromise. Would you say that's true? What we looked at?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obedient without compromise. You know, compromise is dominant in many people. But it was not in Daniel and his three friends. We need a firm conviction, just like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach. An excellent spirit does not compromise to please man. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to worship that gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar made. Remember that? And actually, they would not bow down to anyone other than God. And the king said that if anyone would not bow down to this statue, remember what he said? You know, when the music plays, when the flutes are playing, when the music comes on, you're supposed to bow down. But if you don't bow down, you're going to get thrown into the fiery furnace. So they knew in advance that if they didn't, they knew where they were going. Now, when, you know, this statue is coming down the street, you know, and all these people are out there, and the music is playing, and everybody bows down, except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think they stood out a little bit? For sure. For sure. That was obedience without compromise. They would not. They would not bow down to that statue. And this is what, you know, they got reported, and they had to come before King Nebuchadnezzar. This is what King Nebuchadnezzar, this is what they said to the king. Daniel 3:16. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. We don't have to defend ourselves, he's saying. Verse 17. If that is the case, if we must bow or burn, God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. They were not afraid of the king. They were not going to compromise. They knew it was wrong. They weren't going to compromise. Verse 18, Kathy. Excuse me. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They were not willing to compromise. They weren't going to compromise their faith in God, even if it meant their lives. And they weren't afraid to speak up to the king. They weren't afraid. They told them what their stand was. That's an excellent spirit, guys. That's an excellent attitude toward God. And you know the rest of the story, the three men get thrown into the fire, right? And a fourth one shows up in there, in that fire. And King Nebuchadnezzar said it looks like the Son of God in there. Woo! But they weren't harmed, and it didn't even smell like smoke. That king Nebuchadnezzar, he acknowledged their God. He acknowledged their God, and he decreed that anyone who speaks against their God would be cut into pieces and their houses would be burned. So that was a powerful demonstration. Because they wouldn't compromise. They had an excellent spirit. You know, we have to get to the place where we don't care what man says or thinks. Amen. We only care about what God says. Amen. What does he say in his word? Do you know the average pastor will not take a stand from the pulpit on the issues, the social issues that we face today? The average pastor will not. Because they're afraid of offending man. They're afraid of offending man. This is a Barna survey. This was conducted. They asked the pastors this question. How many of you believe that the Word of God has an answer for every social issue that we face today? That was the first question that they were asked. 90% of them said, yep, we believe. We believe the Bible has the answer to all the situations that we face. God has the answer. 90% of them said that. It should have been 100% of those pastors. Should have been 100%. Because he's got the answer. The answers are here. Whatever the question is, the answer is here. Amen. And then this was the second question. How many of you teach on the Bible answers to those social issues? Under what?
60 and under.
Under 60? 30%. Anyone else?
10.
Barry got it. Ding, ding, ding. Prize. Wow. Only 10% teach it from their pulpit. Only 10% they don't want to offend people. Barna survey of pastors. Hmm. 90% of those pastors were saying, we're afraid of man. We're afraid of people. Whoa. Whoa. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you know love doesn't set people free? It doesn't. It's the truth. Spoken in love that will set people free. Kathy, can you bring up John 8:32? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Bring up Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love. That's how we got to speak the truth. Not screaming, not belittling anybody. Speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head.
That was
John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. In Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. So not compromising, for being obedient. Being in total obedience is a characteristic of an excellent spirit. I think I have time to do the last one here yet. Okay, we're going to go for it. We have something special for you, and I want to make sure that we can get that in.
Don't be concerned about man.
Yeah. Woo! Woo! Love does not set people free. Is that what you're talking about? The truth spoken. Truth will set people free. The truth spoken in love will. I did. Matthew, I did. Where? Okay. Okay. All right. I'm not seeing it here. I'm not sure why, but anyway. Okay. So we're going to go on to the fourth one. We can get it in, I believe. So when you know your identity in Christ, when you know your identity in Christ, and you maintain that identity, humility results because you know who Christ is and what he's done for you. And it's all about him. It is not about you. So humility results when we know our identity and we humble ourselves. Our result is we will be obedient without compromise to our Lord. When we do all those things, what else will result? Boldness. That's the fourth characteristic that we're going to look at quickly. You know, we saw boldness in those three Jewish boys. They would not bow down to that statue. And we talked about the boldness of Gideon last week. You know, when he obeyed God and he reduced his army down to 300 people. And they were facing the Midianite army, 135,000. That was 450-1. Those were incredible odds, but God's favor and blessing. And Gideon also tore down that altar in his backyard. You know, he went against his father. That took boldness. We talked about the boldness of Joshua and Caleb. Remember, they were the two of the spies that came back and said, we can do this. We can take this land. We can do it. God's with us. That was boldness. That was a spirit of excellence. And you know the story about Daniel, how he got thrown into the lion's den. And that's what I want to look at right now. You know, King Darius had set three governors over his kingdom. And there were 120 satraps. Daniel was one of those three governors. He was promoted pretty high, right? He was up there. And so those other governors and the satraps, they were jealous of Daniel. And they were trying to devise a way to bring him down. Kathy, can you go to Daniel 6:3? Then this David distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. The king wanted to set Daniel over all of them. And those other governors and the satraps were a little jealous. Okay, so they want to take him down. Now, they knew Daniel's faith in God. So they knew the only way they could take him down, they got to do something with this God of theirs. Okay, they got to do something here. They knew that he was faithful to God. So they manipulate King Darius to establish a decree that whoever petitions any other god or man other than the king himself, they would be thrown into the lion's den. And so the men knew Daniel's custom and his habit of prayer. And even though that decree went out from the king, he signed it, it went out, it became law. It has to be held up. And so Daniel, he was obedient without compromise. He was not going to compromise his prayer time with the Lord. He went up into his room and he would pray. He'd open up the windows and he would face Jerusalem and he would pray every day. And these other guys saw it, so they were trying to snare him. And so King Darius had to uphold the decree. You know, the guys brought that reported Daniel to the king, and so Daniel got thrown to the lion's den. And the king was a little bothered by that because, you know, he thought a lot of Daniel, but he had to follow the decree. It came forth from him. And so the king was up all night. He said he couldn't sleep. Yeah, he fasted. He was a little concerned, but very early, the scripture says very early, he came the next morning and he rushed to the den. He cried out to Daniel. This is Daniel's response. Kathy, could you bring that up? Daniel 6:21 and 22. O King, live forever. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O King, I have done no wrong before you. Powerful, huh? Powerful. You know, I mean, he didn't have to, he could have still obeyed God and just closed the windows and prayed. He was not going to let, he was not going to allow man to tell him what he could or could not do. He's honoring. They did have a relationship. That he did not want to throw him in the lion's den. That's why he was up all night. They did have a, he was going to put Daniel over top of all of his kingdom.
Even decreed the night before.
To those governors and the satraps that were jealous of Daniel. What happened? Woo! Yes, they did. They became the lion's lunch. Them, their wives, their children. Yeah. That was boldness on Daniel's part. And then after all that took place, Daniel was prospered. Kathy, could you bring up Daniel 6:28? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus. Woo! The Persian.